Taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
When I was young, it seemed that life was so wonderful. A miracle, oh, it was beautiful, magical. And all the birds in the
Man, there's just so much to do this week as we head toward the inauguration, of course. And I don't know what to expect. Donald Trump's speeches are not, you know, they're not memorable in the way that Ronald Reagan or John Kennedy or Barack Obama, even in some of their speeches and their skills as orators, you know, the way that they deliver a speech, the eloquence, you know. I mean, I was sitting here talking about some of Ronald Reagan's speeches recently. And I was talking to a friend of mine, talking about the fact that I don't remember Barack Obama sitting behind the desk in the Oval Office giving a speech, because I think that is always powerful. You know, I saw George W. Bush do that, Ronald Reagan do that, John Kennedy do that, Bill Clinton do that. I don't remember Barack Obama doing that very much, but this week all the focus is on that inaugural speech. Aaron Call with us now, Director of Debate at the University of Michigan, returning to the program. Aaron, welcome back.
Great to be here.
And despite Donald Trump not doing great in debates, once again, the debates, as we talked about previously last time you were around, not really the indicator of who's going to win the election, are they?
No, definitely not. According to Gallup, Clinton had the widest margin of the three debates. But no, that wasn't the deciding factor in the race at all, for sure.
Now, are you on campus every day down there at the University of Michigan?
I am, yes.
So, okay, tongue-in-cheek a little bit, but is there going to be a bunch of rooms set aside with Play-Doh on Friday, or what's going on with the safe spaces?
No, it's...
Come on, right. Now. You guys deserve that after some of the behavior. Not you particularly, you know what I'm saying. But, all right, let's talk about presidential inauguration, inaugural speeches. Sometimes there are some things that come out of those speeches that live on forever, famously. Become quotes going down the road. I don't know that we're going to see that from Donald Trump. What do you expect, I suppose?
Yeah, no, it's certainly not the norm. This will be the 58th inaugural address of all time, and for the most part, the speeches are unmemorable. I'd say, you know, maybe 10-20% of the overall speeches end up being above average, and the key is, yeah, having some kind of iconic word or phrase that, you know, the years later, the people still talk about it. And sometimes even, you know, when writing the speech, you're unaware that's going to be the case, but you know, something that people gravitate towards. And so that's important. You mentioned Reagan in the intro. I think that's something that certainly he's going to try to model. The ages are similar, the two of them, when entering office. Obviously, they're opinions of government and regulations, the conservative nature of their cabinets, a lot of similarities in media backgrounds. And so I think that'd be a good place you know, for him to start. Reagan's first inaugural address in 1981 is considered one of the best of all time. And so if he can get anywhere near that, that'd be great. And I think it'd be very interesting to see, will he use a teleprompter? I think that's going to be a big question. Reagan was the last president not to use a teleprompter, and he says he wants it to be a short speech, you know, maybe 10, 12 minutes long. And if that's the case, I think there's certainly the chance where he doesn't have to use one. He can be a little bit more free-flowing with some of his other speeches.
Yeah, when he free-flows, he's better, but he was more effective in those free-flow conversations when he was being maybe a bit combative. I don't know that combative will be the words that come out of his mouth on Friday. And so I don't know what to expect. The fact of the matter is, a lot of people, as you well know, Aaron, have underestimated Donald Trump time and again. And if you underestimate him on this speech, maybe that's a mistake as well.
Definitely. No, definitely. I mean, you know, it was obviously an unconventional race last time, and no one, you know, had a good sense of what was going to happen. You know, I've got some op-eds coming out this week on the speech, and that's one of my major points is to, that, yes, he can thrive on low expectations and being underestimated. You know, the transition started strongly. He had a, you know, a little honeymoon and a period where he got a bump up to about the 50% approval rating after the election. But after that, things, you know, haven't been going as well with, you know, some controversies. And now, depending on the poll, he's down to somewhere between 37 and 44% approval rating. So,
but I think, you know, let me ask you this, and not it's kind of from an aside, not just from a speech point of view, but because the expectations have been set so low. I mean, if he gets through a day and doesn't make a bad tweet, his approval ratings might go up a point or two. I mean, honestly, they've set the bar so low that doing nothing might increase his ratings. And if he does something good, like the North American Free Trade Agreement or the wall and the border is a success or some business growth is a success, the only place to go is up. And I think that I think the Democrats have put themselves in a corner here by continuing to beat him into lower and lower expectations. He's incapable. He's not credible. He's not legitimate, and so on and so forth. Then I think Donald Trump has the ability to, even with mild or medium victories, can turn those into, you know, huge, or as I should say, huge victories, right or wrong.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, sometimes I think, you know, that's intentional. Some of the things that he says on Twitter, he has a different tone when talking in public. Sometimes, you know, he'll start out with outrageous demands, but really that's just the negotiating position. And so, you know, be able to reach a compromise. And so definitely, and I think one thing definitely to pay attention to for the speech on Friday is that Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton have RSVP'd, so they're going to be in attendance. Obviously, President Obama is the outgoing president. You know, what are his comments toward them going to be, you know, about Obama's previous 8 years in office, the hard-fought race with Clinton and her exit from the stage after that? I thought George W. Bush in 2001 was excellent about, after a very hard-fought campaign against Gore, paying tribute to him. So anything there that he can do, being magnanimous and gracious, I think would go a long way towards helping some of the people that may necessarily not have voted for him, but certainly want him to succeed and help the economy, which would be in their interest.
Thank you so much, Aaron. I think those are great comments and great insight. We're out of time for today, but if it's something spectacular or something interesting said, of course, we'll have you back, as we do from time to time. I appreciate it, Aaron Call, as always.
Anytime.
Director of the debate program at the University of Michigan, Aaron Call, here on the program. Not playing with Play-Doh, I guess.